And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, we're going to talk about some secrets. Today, this is volume 174. 174 times, about once a month, we have this wonderful series continuing. And we're glad to do it today because we've got some things I want you to know about. I hope I get to all of them. I want to discuss with you, my friends, the Chinese pianist who played that propaganda tune at the White House during the visit of Chairman Hu Jintao. Oh, boy. The ghost towns of China. Did you know that there's some incredible things going on in China and entire new cities are being built, but nobody's living in them? That's an amazing thing. Well, New York City says that they're seeing a surge of hatred. Oh, yes, they've got to pass new hate crime laws because hate against Jews particularly is rising. We'll discuss that. And the Muslims continue to murder and to do terrible things to their own children. And they're here now, these Muslims. We've invited them into our country. And if you're a Muslim, and I know I have some Muslims listening to this program, listen up. You may not like what I have to say about your religion and the horror of Islam. But I'm going to say it. It needs to be said, and we're going to say it here, and I don't care what you think about it. So we're going to say it. Then there's the Hawaii governor, a space cadet, empty-headed dude, if there ever was one, the governor of Hawaii. Has a beautiful state there, Hawaii, but evidently they only want to vote in people with, you know, they remind me of the Scarecrow and the Wizard of Oz. They hadn't got brains, those politicians. Usually liberal Democrats. Well, the governor of Hawaii, Neil Abercrombie, said he's going to show those people that keep demanding to see Barack Obama's birth certificate, he's going to put them to shame and just show everybody in America and the world what idiots we are because we don't believe that wonderful, fabulous president, Barack Obama, is an American citizen. Barack says he was born in Hawaii, but he's never shown anybody his birth certificate. Well, Governor Neil Abercrombie was just put into office a few months back. The new governor, he's a big friend of Obama's, and he says, I'm the governor now, and I can get out that birth certificate from the Hawaii Department of Health, and I can show everybody that they're a bunch of blooming idiots if you don't think Barack Obama was born in America, in Hawaii, in Honolulu. Of course he was, says Neil Abercrombie, the new liberal Democrat, red communist governor. Am I just calling him a name? No, that sucker really is communist, I promise you. Nobody in Hawaii doubts this man is a communist, but they voted him into office. That's what they do over there in Hawaii. Their senators, their congresspeople, they're all a bunch of commies. I don't even know why we made it a 50th state. Why didn't we just let up, you know, Red China annex it? May as well have. I guess there's a few pro-Americans in Hawaii that might not have liked that, although they tell me that the Japanese and Chinese now own most of the real estate in Hawaii. But that's another story. Well, we'll see what happened when Governor Neil Abercrombie, the commie red governor, declared he was going to get that birth certificate. Some strange things begin to happen. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And talking about the Chinese government, by the way, I'll save that for just a minute. It's just too much. Well, how can we save America? That seems to be a secret. Seems like none of our politicians know how. So I've just decided, Tex Mars has decided, I guess you're going to think I'm such a, you know, egotistical guy, but I've just decided to tell you how to save America. I think there are three things we need to do. If we did these three things, I think America would be an entire different nation. It would be astonishing what would happen if we did these three things. I'm going to make sure today I get to those three things. Well, let's get started. We got a lot more things, by the way. If we get to those, we can just keep on going. Because, man, I just feel rip-roaring today. I've got a few medical problems with me here. You know, the doctor diagnosed my leg. I've been unable to walk very well. I've just got one leg, basically. I mean, it hurts so bad. My knees swole up. My ankles swole up. Even my toes swole up on my left leg. Doctor said it's gout, uremic acid poisoning or something. And I don't know. They're giving me some medicine, but they say sometimes the cure is worse than the problem. We'll see. Oh, these doctors. Well, in any case, you know, I'm not going to complain. I tell Wanda, I get up and try to walk and I'm just hobbling right now. The doctor said it'll be at least 2 weeks before all the pain goes away, if then. And he said it keeps coming back. Thought, oh my goodness. You know, I didn't know much about gout, but I sure am learning about it now. But that's okay. I'm going to survive. God is still with me. I'm having a great time. I smile every day. Wanda says, oh, sweetheart, I feel so sorry for you. I said, don't feel sorry for me. I'm going to make it. I'm fine. I'm a big boy. I'm tough. I come from East Texas. We wrestle alligators down there. That's right. We've got water moccasins to fend off the alligators down in East Texas, down in the swamp land and everything. I'm not going to worry about a little gout. I actually hadn't been very little. It's been pretty big, but I didn't tell her that. But maybe, my friends, you'll pray for me. That's what I need. I mean, the doctors, they're going to try to help me a little bit, but, you know, I don't know. I don't have much hope in doctors. I have a lot of hope in God, though. How about you praying for me? If you will write to me and say, Tex, I'm praying for you, I think they probably mean more to me than these medicines that I'm taking. Oh, I think they'll kill you. You know, a lot of that medicine, Jerry, I'm serious. It's killer stuff. It's killer stuff. And they keep coming up with these new pharmaceuticals. The old ones, I think, are better. I've thrown out several things, you know, from different ailments I've got, and I go back to the old stuff, which I think sometimes you just have to go back to what your moms and granddads told you to take. You know, things like vinegar and baking soda. They're a lot better than all these new medicines. Everybody knows that, except the pharmaceutical industry. All that money. That's true. Well, hey, did you see it when Chairman Hu Jintao from Red China came to America, their leader? Wasn't that the most disgusting display of pandering to a foreign leader you've ever seen? Now, I know they own most of the debt of the Secretary of the Treasury. They bought all these bonds. You know, even Hillary Clinton says it's dangerous to kick your banker. Oh, shut up, Hillary. I'd kick them. They need to be kicked in the shins a little bit. These people are still running a dictatorship over there, putting Christians in jail just simply for their faith, for having home churches, and then we're going to give this guy champagne and oysters or something at dinners. I say take him to McDonald's and have him buy his own hamburger. That's just the start of what I'd say for the guy. I wouldn't even dress up in a suit to see the guy. I'd come out in Bermuda shorts and a t-shirt. In fact, a t-shirt that has the picture of Karl Marx on it and a big X on it as an image. I think that's what I'd do. Get real, folks. Well, anyway, seems that they had a big concert at the White House. And they had music, and I assume they had a few American music people come in. I don't know what they sang. Big honor for them, I'm sure. But they also had a Chinese pianist come in. His name, Lang Lang. I like it when they repeat. I guess they're not smart enough to give them two names, so they just repeat the same name. Hey, folks, from now on, I'm not Tex Morris. I'm Tex. But anyway, his name is Lang Lang. Now, the White House no doubt knew this very song that Lang Lang would play on the piano. Now, before we even get to Lang Lang, let me set this up. When Chairman Hu, let's just call him the Owl Man, the Hu, when Hu showed up at the steps of the White House, he was greeted there by the First Lady, Michelle, and she wore this red bombshell commie dress. Now, that was bad enough. That sort of got my temper flaring. But, you know, I mean, wearing a red dress to indicate her affinity, her love for Red China, the communist beast. Then they go in and they have this music program at the official White House state dinner. And Lang Lang, isn't there a big panda bear that we got from the Red Chinese Zoo, the Beijing Zoo, and his name is Ling Ling. Yeah, Ling Ling. Okay. I like him. Actually, I do. I like Ling Ling. You know, Ling Ling is a lot better than Lang Lang, this Chinese pianist. Did you know that Lang Lang, the pianist, the Chinese, at this White House state dinner, the song he chose humiliated America in the eyes of China? You see, back in China, hundreds of millions of people were watching intently. Now, most Americans don't care much about politicians. We love them or hate them. But in China, they're very, very, you know, cagey. And they're very interested to see how America is going to react to certain things. And I suspect that out of a billion people in China, probably 700 million were watching on TV. And they watched as this Lang Lang from China played this song that had been scheduled in advance. The name of the song, well, it was My Motherland. So it was a Chinese patriotic song. Well, that's okay if you want to play a patriotic song. You're Chinese. You're visiting the United States. You're a musician from Red China. There is the chairman of the Communist Party, Chairman Hu, there with Barack Obama and the red-dressed commie gal, Michelle. If you want to play My Motherland, that's okay. The only thing, it turns out that this is a infamous anti-American propaganda melody from the Korean War where we fought the Red Chinese. It's a theme song from the movie, the Chinese movie entitled Battle on Shangling Mountain, that tells the story of how the Chinese massacred the American forces. And actually, they didn't sing the words, but the song back in China has words. The words say that this is a victory song, a victory over the American imperialist. And in the song, it says, we need to greet them with a hunting rifle. They are jackals. He's playing a song that talked about Americans, many young American men who died in the Korean War, believing they were fighting for freedom, and they were killed by the Red Chinese, and now the Red Chinese come to America and play a song celebrating the victory of the Red Chinese and the death of these Americans, and it has the gall to call the Americans jackals. Lang Lang was asked about the song and how he played it, and he said, I was filled with patriotic fervor. He said, we Chinese feel extremely proud of ourselves through this song. I think it's especially good. Every time I hear it, I feel extremely moved. Well, you know, Lang Lang, I wish you were extremely moved back to Beijing or Shanghai where you can be locked away in a loony bin. I like you to be extremely moved out of our country. Now, the Obamas knew this song was going to be played. If they didn't, they need to fire all of their people at the White House that made all these arrangements. Can you imagine playing this song, this propaganda communist tune? And in China, they must have been laughing up their sleeves, 700 million people or so, how they humiliated America, and there sent our first black American president and his wife dressed in a red dress. This was a disgrace. Why don't we talk about that in Congress? Where are our Republicans? You bunch of cowards? Come on. Well, going back to China, apparently there are ghost towns being built. I was looking. Somebody sent me amazing satellite images that show sprawling cities built in remote parts of China that are completely, They're not abandoned. There's nobody living there. Some of them were constructed years ago. They say that there might be 64 million empty homes, and 20 new cities are being built every year. China has announced they're building a new city way out in the countryside that will have homes, businesses, schools for 42 million people. The largest city in the world they're building, but nobody's going to be living there. What's going on? They're building up an empire. Can you imagine driving through a city, driving miles, seeing skyscrapers, schools, businesses, warehouses, airports, and there's nobody there? But they're all brand new. How does China get this money to do this? I was listening to the Lawrence Kudlow program on MSNBC TV. Actually, that's CNBC TV, the business channel. And a Chinese analyst, a market analyst, who knows about the Chinese economy, was telling Mr. Kudlow, who, by the way, is Jewish, there on CNBC, that Goldman Sachs, most powerful bank in the world, controlled mostly by the Rothschilds, Goldman Sachs, the same bank that controls the oil markets and sets the price of oil, that same bank, Goldman Sachs, has bought a warehouse building company. In fact, the largest warehouse building company in the world, Goldman Sachs, bought it out. And they've turned its direction to China and its activities of building warehouses to China. And he said that Goldman Sachs has worked with the Red Chinese government to build over the last several years 200,000 warehouses, huge warehouses, bigger than airplane hangars. And he said they're buying billions and billions of materials. Now listen carefully to what I'm telling you. They're buying aluminum, lumber, steel, concrete, all these precious materials and things, including food supplies. And they're bringing it all and loading these warehouses. 200,000. That's just Goldman Sachs and their warehouse building corporation. First of all, what is one of the world's most powerful banks, Goldman Sachs, owned by the Jews and Rothschild? What's it doing building warehouses in the first place? And how is it that they're buying up coal, lumber, concrete, aluminum, steel, copper, and storing them in these warehouses? They're going to do some big things. They're going to do some strange and dangerous things. And all the banks are working with them. All the elite own mansions now. The Bushes own mansions. Billy Graham's family own mansions in China. George Soros, the Hungarian Jewish billionaire, who is attempting to influence American politics by spending millions of dollars. He gave millions to Barack Obama for his campaign. Don't believe for a moment the little people gave Barack Obama anything. It was the billionaire, the Jews, that did it, that made him president. George Soros says, yes, China will be the leader of the New World Order. And you Americans, you better not try to resist or else. Wow. But the question is, how is China getting all of their money? You say, well, they're selling all these goods to America and Europe. Not wrong. For 3 years, we've been having a big recession around the world, in Europe and the United States. The euro has slipped in value. The euro, the dollar has fell in value. The United Kingdom, that is Great Britain, just announced that their economy, the most recent quarter, actually contracted. In other words, it declined. Portugal, Greece, Italy, Spain are on bankruptcy row nearly right now. Their currencies have fallen. They're not buying the Chinese products like they used to. In America, we're not buying the Chinese products like we used to. So where is China getting all these trillions of dollars?
Oil.
China has become the world's number one petroleum power. They're selling oil and gasoline to the whole world. China is now exporting more oil and gasoline than any country on earth. Now I'm going to give you the rest of the story. It seems that China has no oil of its own. Oh, there's a little bit off the coast. There's a little bit in some of their barren territories. But basically, China has no resources of its own. There are not a lot of gold mines, tin mines, aluminum mines. There's not copper. There's not precious things. There's not diamond mines. There's no oil in China, either in its landmass or in its waters offshore. Very little. And yet China in the last 10 years has built 25 new oil refineries. By the way, in all of the United States, there are only 5 oil refineries that process oil and the gasoline. 5. We haven't built a new one for 25 years. 5 in all of America to handle all of our needs. We have more cars, more need for gasoline than any country. China by itself has built 25 new refineries to refine gasoline from oil. Where are they getting all this oil? I told you about it, friends. Didn't you hear what Texmar said? I offer audio tapes and CDs explaining this. They're getting the oil from Iraq. From Iraq. Iraq, depending on the month, they're neck and neck with Saudi Arabia or Iran to be the world's number one oil producer. That's why we captured and conquered Iraq. We took over their oil. And we brought in all these companies, these drilling companies, Halliburton, Kellogg, Root, Brown and Root, and others. And now all the oil is coming up. Trillions of dollars in oil coming up out of the ground from Iraq. Iraq could be one of the most powerful countries in the world. It only has 21 million people. It's not even the size of Texas. But that oil, oh boy. But who's getting the oil? Ah, now listen. The oil is going on new pipelines built. One of them was outmoded and old, and we repaired it. Now there's at least 3 pipelines that the Americans built. With your taxpayer dollars, we built these pipelines going from Iraq through Israel and Lebanon and Jordan over to the Mediterranean Sea. There, British Petroleum, yes, British Petroleum, the old BP people that shafted us by destroying our Gulf of Mexico for a while there. They're one of the main companies working. They and the Chinese, PetroChina and other Chinese oil companies, are working to produce all this oil, ship it in these pipelines over to the Mediterranean, and these huge tanker ships are taking it over to China. China has no oil to refine, to import. And so all of the Iraq oil, they now are the number one oil refiner in the world. Think of all that money. Now remember, Cheney told us the Iraq war won't cost you Americans anything. We'll just use the oil we capture to pay for it. What a liar. We did get the oil, but neither America nor Iraq is benefiting from it. Israel is. It's going across Israel. Israel has owns the oil companies. Rothschild and Israeli oil companies are making a mint. And guess what? Rothschild is in bed with the Chinese, as is Israel. Don't you know that there were Jews from America, from England, from Russia that helped found Red China? Mao Zedong was a peasant, a stupid peasant. They taught him everything he knows. Jews. They set up his banking system. They set up his government. I explained that in my newsletters and in my tapes, Triad of Evil. Get that. You need it. Amazing. Amazing, my friends. The Iraq oil that we stole from them is being piped. And guess who's protecting the pipelines? We have built 7 brand new American military installations that are permanent. Actually, we have 15 there that are semi-permanent, but 7 will stay. The other day, Barack Obama gave his State of the Union address, January the 20th. Finally, our troops are leaving Iraq, he said. We shall have peace. What a incredible liar that man is. Why didn't somebody stand up on the floor of the house there and say, you filthy liar, we will never leave Iraq. We have built the largest American embassy in the world. Now think about it. We have a larger embassy in Iraq out of Baghdad than we have in any other of the 175 nations in the world. It costs $5 billion. But after all, oil is a big business. And Israel and the United States has to run the Israeli oil companies. We own them. Israel and the United States. And Rothschild has his slimy, sleazy paws on the whole thing. But he's working hand in glove with the Chinese. And now they're becoming the richest country in the world. And when Chairman Hu comes to America, the Obamas have to get down and grovel and kiss the soles of his feet. And would you please tell me if Mr. Weepy, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Boehner, has told you about it? Has Nancy Pelosi given you word on this? Has anybody but Tex Mars told you what has happened to the Iraq oil and why China has enough money to fill up 200,000 warehouses through Goldman Sachs, the most powerful bank in the world owned by Jews, whose chairman is Lloyd Blankfein, a Jew? Who works for Rothschild, a Jew, who all intend to set up a Jewish-led and rule New World Order, and the Gentiles will serve them. It's all of the Jewish Talmud, the Jewish Kabbalah. We move from China to New York, where I see there's a surge of hate. Hate crimes are up. They've jumped 14% across the state of New York. And most of them are against Jews and Jewish institutions. Says that Brooklyn was the borough with the highest number of hate crimes, followed by Manhattan, Queens, the Bronx, and Staten Island. Well, Brooklyn is where all the Jews live. And if you look crooked at a Jew, he reports you for a hate crime there. Friends, there are no hate crimes against the Jews there. If anything, the Jews perpetrate, commit hate crimes against the blacks and the other races there. But you know, when a Jew goes into a police station and says, we're reporting a hate crime against the Jews, boy, they make sure a report is filed. When a black goes in and says, I've had a hate crime committed against me, the cops say, get out of here. When a white Anglo Christian goes in, get out of here. We ain't got time for you. Oh, Mr. Goldstein, certainly come in and we'll process your complaint. More secrets in just a moment, including the young Muslim girl electrocuted in an honor killing by her own family. You Muslims, you should be ashamed. I'm going to tell everybody all about it. I'm going to put out the word to as many people as I can about your horrible religion doing this to people. I'm Tex Mars. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with more of Volume 174, Secrets, and you're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello, folks. Again, this is Tex Mars. You know, I followed very closely the Tucson shooting of a Congresswoman Giffords by Jared Lee Loeffner. And I became convinced that it was a horrible crime by a deranged young man whose mind had been twisted and moved to do such a horrible act by the fact that he was a religious Jew. In his backyard, the New York Daily News found what was seemed to be at first an occult or satanic altar, even a skull on it. But I knew what it was exactly. There was a skull on it. It was an occult altar. But it was part of the Jewish Festival of Booths that's held in September each year. A Jewish religious festival. And even the skull has meaning. It is a sign of the Jewish God who is Leviathan the serpent. Now, some of you may say, Tex, the Jewish God is Jehovah. The Jewish God is found in the Old Testament. May I please respond to you? Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Shut up because you don't know what you're talking about. The God of Moses was the great I Am. The God of Jeremiah, of Amos, of Isaiah, of Daniel was the great I Am. He is the same God who is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Son of God, Jesus, sits on the right hand of God. There is the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and these three are one. That's the true God. The God in heaven that Christians worship in the New Testament, that the Old Testament prophets worshiped. And by the way, they're still worshiping the same God today, up in heaven. He is God of this universe. He is God of everything. Through Jesus Christ, this planet was created. He was the creator, Paul says. That's the great God of the Old Testament. Now, friends, that's the same God I worship, who I love, who I obey. And if you don't love him, boy, please do. Please change your mind. Please, may I beg you to get on your knees and repent of your sins and believe in him. Believe in what his son Jesus Christ did on the cross. That is the true God. If the Jews today in their religion really worshiped this true God, the God of the Old Testament even, the God who realized the covenant that he had with the Jews had to become null and void because they violated it. They violated it. God didn't. God kept his covenant. But the Jews betrayed him, were apostate. The physical nation of Israel they just refused to abide by the covenant. Now, friends, if you have a contract with somebody and they keep breaching it, finally you have to say, okay, I'm throwing the contract out. But God in his goodness provided a way for salvation with a new covenant. The Apostle Paul calls it a new and better covenant. And Jesus Christ is the testator. He is the one who, you might say, seals up that covenant for us. So that we may receive eternal salvation. This is a new and a better covenant. The Jews never kept the old covenant. How could God allow it to remain when they voided it with their own sin and apostasy? He wouldn't be God if he didn't make somebody live up to their agreement. You wouldn't respect a God who said, I don't care if you worship other gods. I don't care if you break all my commandments. It's okay. I'll continue on in our covenant. That's not possible for a true God of integrity to do. I respect God. And you know, he pleaded with the Jews over and over and over. He didn't just kick them out instantly. He brought great chastening and punishment and horror into their lives, trying to turn them around. Now, anyone who's a parent, you know, probably you've had children who you had to convince what they're doing is just not right. You had to turn them around. Might be words you could have with them. Might be some other form of punishment. Maybe you take away some privilege. And finally, well, you might have to spank them. I'm not a big promoter of spanking, but every once in a while a little swat on the back end might do a little correction. And I'm not talking about child abuse. If you do that, my friends, be sure God will do you the same way if you do your children in an abusive situation. Boy, if you want to get my hackles up, just abuse a child. But my point is, though, God did everything he could to chasten them, to warn them, to plead with them. God's not above pleading. I don't really know if he should, but I'm not God, and he does it. He pleads with people's hearts. Please. The Bible says he wishes that no one perish. It doesn't make God happy for people to reject him, and then they go right into hell and perish. God is not happy about that. But what else can he do? He's the king, and they spurn him. They spit on him. They kill his son. What else can he do? Are you going to blame God or the perpetrators who committed these evils? So he said, that covenant is decaying, is vanishing, is dead. But I will give the whole world, not just Israel, I'll give all the nations of the world, all the peoples, a new covenant. Will you agree to it? Will you come into a covenant relationship with me? That's what God asks people today. You know, I'm not going to offer a book or a video or anything else today. I just want to talk to you about that covenant, that new and better covenant. So many Christians out there today believe that the Jews can keep their old covenant and be saved. That old covenant is dead. They violated it. They breached it. Man wrote to me this week, he and his wife, he says, don't you realize God keeps his promises? If he promised the Jews a covenant, well, he wouldn't break his promise. No, but they did. You know, many years ago, my brother went to a car dealer and he agreed to buy a car. It was a used car. And they said to him, well, you know, trade in your car for a certain amount. We'll sell you this car in exchange. He said, okay. So he brought his car down to them, to the car lot. They took my brother's car and then they shipped it up country and sold it. But then they didn't give him the car he wanted to buy. They said, you know what? We sold that car by accident, but you can have another one here on the lot. My brother said, no, I had a contract with you. I was supposed to get that car. Well, we don't have that car anymore, they said. My brother said, well, just pay me full price for my car that you stole then. They said, well, we can't do that. He said, well, yes, you can. We had a contract. You broke it. Now, friends, when you get a mortgage on your house, you have a contract. Now, if you don't do your part, if you don't pay your bills, they will come knocking on your door someday. Now, you don't have any right to say, hey, it's my house. It's no longer your house. You have broken your covenant with that bank, with that mortgage company. They have the right to take your house, to foreclose on it, to sell it to somebody else. It can hurt. It can be damaging to you, to your credit, to your life. You may think they're a big bad bank, but they have the right to do it. You say, well, but I lost my job. It's not my fault. That's okay. Still was a contract. They can still take your house. Maybe you can work out a deal with them. Maybe they will have mercy on you, but maybe not. And that's the world. And you know, God made a contract with Israel. And they kept violating it, breaching it. And he said, please don't do this. Please. I beg you. Be fair. Be honest. Love me. I'm your God. I'm your Father in heaven. Look at all I've done for you. I brought you out of captivity in Egypt. I brought you out of the desert and gave you the promised land. I've kept all my promises, said God. I've kept them. Why haven't you kept yours? I know what I'll do. I'll send my son. Surely you will reverence him. But instead they said, the Jews said, he's the heir. He's the heir to the kingdom, this Jesus. Let's take the heir and kill him, and the kingdom will be ours. And so they did. They had killed all the other messengers God sent. They killed the prophets. They killed them all. Wouldn't listen to them. Finally, they killed the Son of God himself. Jesus as a parable of the landlord who went off to a far country. He left certain husbandmen in charge of his great vineyard and a tower he had built and a wall. He left him in charge. All he wanted was his share, his tithe, his honor. He wanted them to reverence him for having given them so much. But the people of that land, of that vineyard, of that tower and wall that he had built, they said, you know, he's absent. He's gone off to a far country, the landlord. Why shouldn't we keep everything for ourselves? And so the absentee landlord sent messengers to talk to them, to try to plead with them. You know what they did to them? In Jesus' parables, you can read about it in Matthew and Luke and Mark. They took the messengers and they slayed them. They killed them. Finally, Jesus' parable says the landlord, the absentee landlord who'd gone off into a foreign country, said, they've killed everyone I've sent them and they still won't reverence me and honor me. This time I will send my own son. Surely they will listen to him and give reverence to my own son. But they didn't. They decided to kill him because he was the heir and they wanted the kingdom of their own. They want to collectively be Messiah of the world. Even the Jewish encyclopedia says the Jewish people as a whole are their own Messiah. They took him. They beat him. They tortured him. They murdered him. They said, now everything will be ours. We Jews will have our own kingdom. Jesus asked his disciples, what do you think the landlord, the master will do when he returns? What do you think he's going to do to those people when he returns? They having done such horrible things and refused to honor and obey and give even a portion of what they should have to the master. What do you think he's going to do to them when he gets back? His disciples were absolutely shocked, flabbergasted. They said, Lord, surely he will take those miserable men and kill them all. And Jesus answered, yes, that is so. Yes, that is so. That's what's going to happen to them. Now, you folks over there who want to be Jews, you folks out there who are Christians, who are, you know, like this one person said, Tex, we observe Sukkot every year. We observe the same festival that Jared Loeffner did. We don't see anything wrong with it. I do. You're exalting a people, the Jews. Do you not know that God said that Abraham would be father of many nations? Many nations. And people as many as the sands of the sea. Do you not know that it says in Galatians 3 verses 26 through 29 that there is only one people of God and that people is saved through faith in Jesus Christ? That's how they become adopted by God. They are then become the seed of Abraham. If ye have Christ, if you belong to Jesus, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It is not salvation. You cannot become heir. You cannot inherit the kingdom or the promise because you have a bloodline or because you're white or black or Chinese or brown. It's not by race. It's by grace. How many of you don't get it? How many of you have never read Galatians 3? How many of you know that God told Abraham, I will make you father of many nations? Well, Abraham's the father of Israel. And so Israel alone is God's chosen people. Shut up. It's not true. Abraham is father of many nations. But out of all of those nations, God brings his children. They may speak different languages. They may look different. They may be male or female. They could even be a slave or free. As far as the world is concerned, they can be rich or poor. But God adopts them and brings them into his family. Because Paul said Jesus is that seed of Abraham. And if you belong to Jesus, you are of the seed of Abraham, and you are heirs of the promise. And what is the promise? Is it a bunch of filthy, dirty, deserty land in the Middle East? No, the promise is eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. Moses received the promise. Jeremiah received the promise. The apostle Peter and Paul received the promise. The martyr Stephen received the promise. Will you receive the promise? If you're a Jew listening to me, your name can be Goldstein, Baruch, it can be Netanyahu. You're headed straight for hell unless you accept Jesus. And Christians out there, quit trying to be a Jew and be a Christian. Quit trying to be in all these festivals and feasts and reverence Jesus instead of the Jewish people. Well, I'm giving reverence to the fact that the Israeli people, you love. Shut up! Give reverence to Jesus. You'll be better off. You'll be happier. Let's return to our regular program. Now, Wanda told me not to scream like that. She says my voice goes into a different pitch. I don't know. But every once in a while, I just have to preach a sermon. You know, we have Bible Home Church. Hope you turn to BibleHomeChurch.org. We have series. We have about 10 sermons. And I'm usually a little bit more quiet and reserved. I'm sort of like a lamb, Bible Home Church. I know. I promise you I'll be nice. Well, I can't totally promise that. But I'll try. But you know, every once in a while, a little righteous indignation might be a good thing for people. Maybe it's okay to get mad. I'm getting mad now just looking at this news item. Girl electrocuted in honor killing. This is happening too much. Over in Pakistan, a young teenage girl was electrocuted. She fell in love with a man her family did not approve of, police said. So the elders of her town and the family of this young woman, 17 years old, named Saima Bibi, decided after a meeting of the village council that her punishment for shaming the family should be death. They chose a husband for her, but she loved another man. She didn't want that husband. The police chief said there are signs of torture and burns on her neck, back, and hands caused by electrocution. Her own family put her to death. Her death is what is known in the Muslim world as an honor killing. It's been going on for centuries, these customs. And you know what? They've been doing it in America. Every once in a while you hear about some Muslim father killing his teenage daughter. Recently, there was a Muslim brother that killed his sister because she didn't live up to the standards of the family. Maybe if these people had Jesus, they would know that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not our prerogative to kill somebody because they're a sinner. Now, if they have murdered somebody like these monsters, then the government has a right to put them away. But if you are just a sinner out there, I say just, if you are a sinner, and I don't care what you've done, lied, cheated, defrauded, if you committed a crime, there are courts for that. But I'm not going to kill you. Jesus told me, don't kill people. In fact, that's one of the Ten Commandments. What part of the Ten Commandments do you Muslims not understand? Killing your own family like this? Honor killing? You are dishonoring God. You are dishonoring the Son of God. You are dishonoring yourself. And you will pay a heavy price, Muslim. Muslims write to me all the time. You need to become a Muslim, text. Read our Quran. Oh, yeah. Shut up. I've read your Quran. And I have to admit, even the author of that Quran, Muhammad, was a better man than most of you Muslims are today. And I said man. He wasn't the prophet of God. Let me repeat that. Muhammad was not a prophet of God. If he was, he would believe in Jesus Christ, who is God. Now, you can get mad at me, Muslim. You can write to me. You can threaten me. You can threaten to cut my throat and bomb my cars. You can do anything you want to. And I'm going to tell you how I feel about the Muslim religion and the Judaic religion. You are both out of the pit of hell. And as far as I'm concerned, you are two scorpions in a bottle. Unfortunately, the American Christian church is in bed with the Jews. You Muslims would like us to be in bed with you, and many Christian pastors are today. Now they're jumping in bed with the Muslims. Now, I will say this. The Muslims honor Jesus a lot more than do the Jews. The Jewish Talmud and their Kabbalah are hate documents. And the Jews do not believe in the Old Testament. They do not. They're not an Old Testament religion. They have their own holy books, the Kabbalah books, Zohar and so forth. And then, of course, the filthy, dirty, monstrous Talmud. I have no liking for the Jewish satanic religion. But the Muslim religion has to be somewhere on the satanic scale, too. All I can say, it's a lot better than the Jews. How does that make you feel, Muslim, to know your religion is a little bit more honorable than the Jewish religion? Well, it doesn't impress me any. And honor killings. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Well, we go from the honor killings to the Hawaii governor. Boy, talk about a guy without any honor. He swept into office 3 or 4 months ago, and he said, I'm going to get that birth certificate as governor, and I'm going to show up you fools out there that don't think Obama's born an American. Turns out now he says he can't find it. He tried. He even went to the two hospitals, the only hospitals that people were born in back in that day, in Honolulu. There were just two hospitals where all the children were born. And each of them says they've looked and there is no record of Barack Obama being born in Hawaii. And then the governor, Abercrombie, went to the health department, to the Department of Statistics and so forth, at the state of Hawaii to see if he could get the birth certificate there, and they don't have it. There is none. President Obama is not an American citizen. He's a foreigner. He needs to be impeached. He's got to be impeached. Absolutely. Now, I told you I was going to tell you three ways. I'm about running out of time here. But my friends, I wish I had more time because I've got to tell you the three ways in which we can save America. Three ways. The first way is to impeach Barack Obama for lying and saying that he was an American citizen. As you know, his mother lived in Indonesia. His so-called father, if that was his father, who abandoned him as a baby supposedly, was a Kenyan, a black African. And his own grandmother and aunt says that Obama was born in Kenya. And once Obama was quoted as being saying, I was born in Kenya. And now the governor can't find the birth certificate. Now listen, friends, when I joined the Air Force at age 18, the Air Force recruiter said, we must see a birth certificate. And I gave him one. When I went to get a passport renewed some years ago to travel overseas, the State Department said, we must see a birth certificate. How is it that you can't even travel and you can't get a passport? You can't join the armed forces. You can't get your Social Security pension unless you show a birth certificate. But you can become president of the United States. That's a disgrace. That's not right. And we've got to make sure that's taken care of. Impeach the guy. Impeach him. And let me tell you something. That will put fear in the tyrants. It'll show the American people are not going to put up with this trash anymore. The second thing we need to do to clean up America is to indict George W. Bush and Cheney, the vice president, for their war crimes and their murders. The ACLU has just released 2,600 documents they received from the Department of Defense, including photos, 2,600 documents, which give evidence that America, they say, has murdered up to 300 innocent people
We took prisoners. We took politicians. We took military generals in Iraq. And we murdered them. We tortured them to death. And they have pictures. You ought to see the one of the young girl in army clothes. Women should not even be in the military. And if you young women don't like what I'm saying, well, write me a mean letter. I need some firewood. And I don't have enough firewood, so I'll just use the letters you write me to keep my fire going this winter. That's right. You shouldn't be in military service unless you want to be a nurse or a cook or secretary or doing some other service. But our military shouldn't even be overseas fighting wars. We should be in America. We've got troops in 130 nations. Do you know how many trillions of dollars we would save by bringing all those troops home? And then maybe we could put a small percentage of them on our borders with Mexico and Canada and keep all the foreigners out. Do you know how much money would be saved? I mean, your Social Security, we could give you a 20% pay raise for the next 20 years in your Social Security, in your Medicare. We could build thousands of new high schools and elementary schools with the money we save by bringing our troops home from 130 countries. Germany doesn't have troops all over the world. Japan doesn't. Indonesia doesn't. China doesn't. We are the dumbest people in the world for allowing our troops to go over, fight, and die. And then the Homeland Security. Look at all the money going for that. Worthless money. Thrown away money. Now, the third thing to do. First of all, you've made a point. We're not going to let you politicians propagandize us, lie to us, and create pretexts for wars, unconstitutional wars, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in Yemen, in Iraq. And you committed all these murders, these tortures. You knew it was going on at Guantanamo and American gulags all over the world. And now you're going to have a war crimes trial. And you, George W. Bush, we will hang you. We will hang you, Cheney, after your trial. We don't assassinate. We don't kill. We don't plant bombs. We're not terrorists. We're Americans. We have law. And we're going to indict you dirty devils. And hang you after you're found guilty. And you will be, because the proof is monumental. And after we've got rid of Obama, and after we've got George Bush and Cheney in prison cells, or maybe in a grave somewhere, because they've been found guilty by a lawful trial, then we'll take the 35 million, yes, there are at least 35 million illegal aliens, and we will deport every one of them with their families. All 35 million. Do you realize how many billions that will save in benefits, welfare, hospital, etc.? No more Social Security payments. No more Medicaid to illegal aliens. They will be deported. So here's my agenda. Here's my plan for America. Impeach Obama. Send him out on a rail. Second, indict, try, and put to death George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and all their associates. Rumsfeld, all of them, including most of the neoconservative Jews. And finally, deport the 35 million people illegally in this country. Send them packing and give their jobs to Americans. There's my plan for America. Save us trillions of dollars. Being a resurgence in our economy. And I didn't even get to number four, which is shut the doors down of the Federal Reserve and turn the building into a barn. Now you've got the text force agenda for the 21st century. That's my four pillars of American righteousness. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. And it's my prayer that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.